Welcome back to the special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. In this hour, we'll be speaking to the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, we have the Commander-in-Chief of the Minnesota National Guard, Governor Mark Dayton. Mr. Governor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, and good Memorial Day for all of us.
Governor, I imagine you have some speaking events coming up today?
I'm speaking at the Lakewood Cemetery at 10:30 this morning. First time I've been there, they have a new mausoleum that they're just opening up, and so it's a cemetery where Hubert Humphrey, Rudy Perpich, Paul Wellstone are buried, among other notables.
And, Mr. Governor, do you have a special message for our veterans and military members and families today?
That freedom is not free, and that it exacts the ultimate price from some of our courageous men and women who serve and protect the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy.
Governor, you must have had some special experiences on the Senate Armed Services Committee. Do you have any memories about visiting our troops in harm's way?
Yes, I went to Afghanistan and Iraq three times. I went to Afghanistan right after the beginning of January 2002, right after the U.S. forces routed the Taliban. And remember, we landed at the Bagram Air Base about an hour outside of Kabul because their airport had been bombed, and drove on this very narrow, I mean, for us it would probably be one lane, a road into the city, and twice we had to slow down just to a crawl to sneak by this truck that was supposedly disabled on the side, pulled off to the side of the road, and there were about, I don't know, 8-10 Afghan men standing on the side there, and everybody's got rifles or guns of some kind, and they looked at us, and we were in three senders in two of open-air jeeps and two Marines in front of us, and they peered at us, we peered at them, and I thought to myself, you know, if this is an ambush, we're finished. And we got past them, and I leaned forward and said to the Marines, you know, how do you tell the good guys from the bad guys? And one of them smiled grimly. He said, well, if he starts to point his gun at you, he's probably a bad guy. And I thought, boy, it's a little late to be finding that out. So, you know, that was one incident for me on one day. And, you know, for the heroes that serve in places like Iraq, Afghanistan, it's at least once a day, every day for a year or 18 months, and then they go back for another tour. I mean, I'm just in awe of the patriotism and the heroism that it takes to serve in those situations.
Governor Dayton, my co-host on today's show is Brigadier General Neil Leutholt. He's with us here now.
Good morning, General.
Good morning, Governor. We just had a great discussion with Secretary Ritchie about all of your efforts to date with respect to our veterans and veterans employment, small business, et cetera. I'm just wondering, sir, if you could just give us a look ahead throughout the summer and the coming months. I know you've recently had a round table with your commissioners, and they're certainly getting on board with the effort. What might we expect in the future, sir?
Well, we have a major challenge to provide for our returning heroes from Iraq and Afghanistan, including about 2,700 members of the Red Bull who are just coming back from a tour of duty. And according to General Nash, Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, as many as 20% of them returning don't have jobs. And I think they had a job for the last year. They performed extraordinarily well to serve our country and protect the freedoms we enjoy, and then they come back and they can't find a job back at home. So spearheading that effort is going to be priority number one, and that means giving priority to hiring within the state agencies for veterans and providing whatever incentives and encouragement we can for businesses. I had proposed a tax credit for businesses that hire unemployed veterans. Unfortunately, that didn't make it through the legislative process, but there are other ways we can encourage employers, and a lot of this, as you know, is part of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, which the Minnesota National Guard started. You're going to be talking, I understand, with Commissioner Shelato later this hour. He was the originator and prime mover behind the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program that the Minnesota National Guard started. It has now become a national model.
Governor Dayton, we have active duty, reserve, guard. We have veterans of all sizes, shapes, and colors coming back, and a lot of them are looking for jobs. Are there other actions that Minnesota state agencies are doing to help today's veterans?
Well, we have the Department of Employment and Economic Development has general job training programs and career counseling programs, and those are also being geared toward needs of returning veterans. And there was a group of state agency officials and private companies like U.S. Bank and Target who sent representatives over to Kuwait just about 6 weeks ago in anticipation of their return home, and gave them hands-on assistance with preparing resumes and thinking about how to look for a job and what their interests would be and the like. So that's ongoing and needs to be continued. And every community, whether it's beyond the Yellow Ribbon community or not, and I hope more and more of them will be, I'll be going down to Faribault this Friday to bestow that on the cities in that area. And just last week we went to Saints Stadium, Midway Stadium, and designated St. Paul, South St. Paul, and West St. Paul, and some others beyond the Yellow Ribbon communities. But and that's where community members and list businesses in the area to make a priority of hiring veterans. And even without the designation, people can be doing that to find a job, find a veteran.
Governor Dayton, what can Minnesotans do to show their support for veterans and service members?
Well, to thank them, to certainly to reach out to those 110 families whose loved ones lost their lives since 9/11. And I've been to many of those funerals and services, and it's heart-wrenching to see the agony on faces of parents and spouses and young children, many of them very young children. And so to remember those families who are in the neighborhoods around us and reach out to them today, and then to visit the gravesite and stare at that silence and remember there's somebody whose life was cut short so that ours we could live longer and healthier and happier, and rededicate ourselves, to the ideals of why they would, sacrifice their own lives for our country and for the rest of us because of the ideals of, freedom and democracy and respect for human beings and liberties around the world, and just, focus on the big things rather than our own individual concerns.
Governor, I know you've got a very busy day on Memorial Day. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir. That was Governor Mark Dayton on the special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelledo. Welcome back to this special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today is Brigadier General Neil Leutholt, and joining us now is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelledo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tom.
Commissioner, are you going to have a busy day on Memorial Day?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be, obviously here this morning, and then I'm going over to the National Cemetery at Fort Snelling. I'll be there, and then after that we go to the Minneapolis Veterans Home and have a ceremony there also in the afternoon.
Commissioner, I know that some of our listeners get a little confused between Memorial Day and Veterans Day, and there's a big difference, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I think it's what's important of this day is the emphasis and focus and respect that we pay for our fallen veterans, the ones that gave the ultimate sacrifice. There's not a veteran out there, I think, who served in combat, who made it back home, that doesn't know of someone personally that was a friend, an acquaintance, someone. So, yeah, this is a very special day for veterans all across the nation.
Commissioner, I know that this day is just like the last day I was in Washington, D.C. and visited the Vietnam Memorial, but I know that you're a Vietnam veteran, and I'm sure you think about some of your buddies from that war.
That is correct. That is correct. So it's if someone's standing there and they're quiet and they seem to be someplace else, they probably are mentally. So it's a very, very special day.
Commissioner, is there, I know this is a special day for you. Is there something other than special about it, or anybody in particular that you think about on this day?
There is a good friend of mine who went through high school with and a little bit of college, he was brought home, and I think about that. I think about that a lot. In fact, I have a little plaque in my office, and sometime when you get up there, you can come. I'll show it to you. It's in tribute to him.
I'd love to see that, sir. Commissioner, my co-host today is Brigadier General Neil Leutholdt.
Well, General Leutholdt, how are you?
Good. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
If we could just transition a bit, I wanted to ask you on May 18th when you were at Park Rapids for that great dedication to Lloyd Hawks, one of our Medal of Honor winners. And as you know, there's only 82 living Medal of Honor winners left. You made a particularly poignant remark, sir, when you said you can't keep your secrets. And you were referring to our current veterans and telling their story, because those that we honor today on Memorial Day do not have the opportunity to continue to do that. And I'm wondering if you might comment on how important that is, sir.
Well, yeah, I know of an individual who's, it wasn't until an outsider married into the family that wanted to find out about Grandpa's service. So he did one of those record checks that you're familiar with at, you know, at St. Louis. And the family never knew that their dad had won the Bronze Star, had saved 6 lives, and you know, that's sad. That's very, very sad. So the point I want to make there is I hear time and time again from the family, you know, Dad, could you write this story of your experiences for the grandkids, if and not for anyone else, just so they can understand what this means, because, it's personal and it's Grandpa's story. So that's what I tell to the veterans, you owe it to your family to not be quiet, not to keep it to yourself, but to share the experiences, in a sense, so that they truly understand the meaning of Memorial Day, and also the legacy of our great veterans and what they carry with and have carried with them for a long time. Probably the best example, because most people, I think, have seen Saving Private Ryan, and that final scene, where they're standing at the gravesite, and he's saying, was I a honorable man? So, yeah, that's kind of the message I'm trying to get out there, so that they can take or give greater meaning to all the things that people have gone through.
This is the special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130, and we're speaking with the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelledo. Commissioner, some of our listeners may not be aware that I mentioned you go back to Vietnam. You had a long military career, retired as a lieutenant general, were the adjutant general for a number of years, and despite the fact that you promised me you were going to take some time off, all of a sudden you became commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You've known veterans your whole life. You've served your entire life. This must be a really special day for you.
It is. I tell you what, you always find a job where you don't feel like you're working. And that's what's going on here. It's the working with the veterans has just been most enjoyable. It's they're eager. They want to do good. So I'm having fun, if that makes sense. And I really do enjoy it.
So. Commissioner, I know that you when you retired, you left 14,000 Minnesota National Guard troops, and now you're responsible for taking care of over 381,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what you do as Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
First of all, and there are a lot more you have to understand they're a lot more independent than the people in uniform, but it's very, very good. My role really primarily is to make sure that they have the care and benefits that they have earned and our nation has promised them, and so So we work, as you had Governor Dayton on, with the legislature. We try to make sure that the programs are in place. We're working with the National Guard and the reserve components, as well as those coming home active, to make sure they can find a good employment. We've had some legislative things that were done this year that is going to make that, I believe, easier, at least more friendly. And so it's going out there and finding the issues that are of impact to the veterans and working to find resolution for them.
Commissioner, if I could, the governor was just on. He's very complimentary with respect to your efforts to create the Yellow Ribbon program and how hard you worked on that initiative. Do you have any future initiatives like that relative to Veterans Affairs?
Well, there's a couple of things. With the Yellow Ribbon, obviously, we want to make sure that that continues and it transcends as the war appears to be winding down, per se. That's the biggest concern that I have is how are we making sure? Because the veterans of today are different in the sense that they have different experiences and so forth. So they're going to be with us, and they're going to be with us for a long time. So how are we making sure we're going to be taking care of them? And the phrase I like to use is bringing them all the way home so that their needs are fulfilled and they can get back onto their life. And a lot of things are happening, but it's not something that you can do over a weekend and it's fixed. It's something that's going to take a lot of time. And so that's my goal.
Commissioner, that's a great point. And in general, over the course of the last year, it's been easy to get the fact out in front of the public that we had 2,700 Red Bulls over in Kuwait. And now that they're home, there's a little bit of a letdown. But I know that there are continued deployments of airmen and soldiers overseas, and it's more and more difficult to get that word out and talk about it. And as the commissioner just indicated, he's concerned that the public may, a little bit of the support may fall off. How do we deal with that, General?
I think one of the things we'll have to re-energize, Tom, and we talked at the outset about a state and a federal mission, but we also have a community mission. And you see that in the great events that are ongoing today, over 40 separate speaking engagements for National Guard officers and soldiers. And they do that in their hometowns, in the towns where we have armories and where we have a continuing presence. And it will be through that diffusion of the message to all those local communities that we'll be able to attempt at least to keep the needs of soldiers and veterans in the forefront so that we're able to continue to move forward, as the commissioner suggests, not only to make sure people don't forget, but to make sure that the resources are there for those that have so appropriately earned them.
And Commissioner, I know that you stay busy as ever as the Commissioner of Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, but there's also a number of Memorial Day celebrations around the state today.
Oh, yes. We try to keep track of all of them, but they're just a multiple listing of the services, I think, most in every community. The outstate communities across the state, as I have done my travels, are very vibrant and very supportive of the veteran community, and I anticipate a lot of excellent things going on across the state.
Commissioner, we've got about a minute left before we have to go to break. Have any final closing thoughts for our listeners today?
No, first of all, Tom, I just want to thank you and the work that you have done for the veterans. It's just been, I am amazed. We do a little tidbit on your show every week, and I am amazed at the listenership that you have and the message that's getting out. And it's that steady drumbeat that you provide, I think, that's absolutely critical. So I just want to say thank you to you.
Commissioner, thank you for providing that message every week. A lot of listeners tell us they look forward to hearing that and the message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. It's fun to tell the stories about our veterans and veterans benefits and the military today. And I know you're having a busy day as well, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today on this special edition of Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Good luck, General Liddell.
Thank you, sir.
That was Commissioner Larry Shelledo of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. When we come back, we'll have Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard on this Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and my special co-host today is Brigadier General Neil Leutholt. And joining us now from the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, General. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you on this Memorial Day, Doug?
Well, I'm happy to see the sun peek out, my friend.
I'll bet you've got Patriot Guard riders all over the state that have been busy all weekend and busy again today.
Well, and you're absolutely right. We've been busy all weekend and busy all day, and it's been quite a weekend. You know, I think we did a really interesting mission on Saturday. It's the repatriations of the remains of someone who died in a Korean POW war camp. And on his way back home to meet his family and be respectfully buried up in northern Michigan, and to the closure from 60 years later, Tom, it's just amazing to watch that.
I know you've had a few of those in the last year, and they're very special, aren't they?
You know, they are, and they're probably as special as anything you can imagine in its own way. A number of Koreans from the Korean War and from the Vietnam War and even World War II, I think they're doing so much more work now with DNA testing, and, you know, I forget the exact number off the top of my head. I believe there's still over 80,000 remains not identified in Hawaii, so I know the military is working hard on it, and I think the expansion of DNA testing is really helping that quite a bit.
Doug, I suppose, you know, there may be two or three listeners out there that don't know what the Minnesota Patriot Guard is or what your Patriot Guard riders do. Can you explain that to them?
Well, Tom, our primary mission, and we've really started in Minnesota in 2005, and 2006 was the year we really took off. Our primary mission is standing as invited guests of the family to put in a line of flags around the services for a fallen hero. And our core mission is those lost in hostile action. We only go at the invitation of the family, and we work very closely with not just that family, but the military and law enforcement and the local communities to make sure everything we do is respectful and as an invited guest. Our mission scope has grown since then. We attend the missions and the funerals for veterans who have passed away, as well as send-offs and welcome homes, and I think some of our members really enjoy the time we spend with our veterans at the homes and hospitals as part of our help on the home front effort.
And Doug, I know with the Minnesota National Guard has had a lot of deployments over the last 10 years, and you're there when they leave and you're there when they come home.
Well, we are. We recently helped welcome home the first BCT, and, you know, it was a different experience for us as it was for the National Guard and how they brought their soldiers home this time. But, you know, I think we, you know, the big ones are always big news on TV, but there's still small units going every week and every month, and both coming and going, and we're there and honored to be there, invited by the National Guard and the military services. The Marines and Navy are here in Minnesota as well to be part of those events.
We're speaking with Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard on this special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Doug, I know that I've looked at your numbers. You've had lots and lots of missions over the last few years. Can you tell us a little bit about how many missions and the scope of the missions, what they might be about?
You know, it's we look at last year's numbers, Tom, on the funeral, on the mission count, and it was 411, and we look at mission days as kind of our mission count, and 200 and over half of those were core mission. When I say core mission, that's funerals for those who have fallen, for veterans, and send-offs and welcome homes. And this year through April, we're up about 20%, and a lot of those are coming for funerals for our veterans. And, you know, if you look just through April, we're at 70 this year as compared to 40 in 2011. And that is, I think, two things. One is, I think, the veterans' family are knowing about us and not afraid to ask, but it's also a testament to our members who get up every day and go have breakfast and grab their flag and get on their motorcycle, jump in their car, and then go off to the Fort Snelling or to wherever the funeral is going to be held that day.
Doug, your riders are volunteers, and they come from all over the state. Who's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider?
Tom, all you need is a 3x5 flag and a pole and an email address and a zip code. We have no requirements to having served in the military. I myself did not serve. You do not have to ride a motorcycle, even though that's kind of the public picture of us is on our motorcycles. We have many of our members come in cars and trucks and whatever way you get there. And, you know, candidly, living in Minnesota, it's not a 12-month motorcycle ride anyway. So But it really just takes a 3x5 flag and a pole and a willingness to give back just a little bit to those who have given us so much, and particularly remembering our Gold Star families today. You go to the website, www.mnpatriotguard.org, all one word. Click Join Us on the left-hand side, and you're in.
And, Doug, I know you've got your big annual event coming up, the Patriot Guard Ride.
We do, June 16th up in Ham Lake. It is our one big event in partnership with Dennis Kirk, who sponsors it, and we present it. It's called this will be the 7th annual Patriot Ride. And if we can get a day like today, looks like it's going to be, we expect 4,000 to 5,000 motorcycles on it. And it is just a phenomenal opportunity to let those who are serving and have served, you know, that we as citizens care. And what happened to your brothers in Vietnam, Tom, will never happen again. And that, you know, regardless of our personal feelings on the military efforts, this is about those who are serving. And our keynote speaker this year is Rear Admiral Sean Pybus, and he's a Navy SEAL. And he's responsible for the Naval Special Warfare Command, which is basically Special Forces Command. And we met Admiral Pybus last year with the two Navy SEALs that we lost in Afghanistan. And we're very honored that he's accepted our invitation to come and speak.
And we'll be up there with you this year with the Minnesota Military Radio, talking a little bit about Father's Day, which is the next day, and talking to some of your guests about the Patriot Guard Ride.
Well, and it's really pretty cool. We've got a couple different speakers. George Winslow, who's the National Director for the Patriot Guard Riders, is from Minnesota, and he's going to be there. We're having the mayor of Ham Lake is going to talk a bit about what it's like to invite 5,000 bikers into your community willingly. And then we're also making a special effort this year, Tom. Every year we give a folded flag to the military program, to the military honors. We're awarding that flag to the Canadian Vietnam Veterans Association. And I did not realize until we got into this how many Canadians enlisted in the United States military served in Vietnam and gave their life. So one of the speakers on the radio show that morning will be a representative from that group. So it's just really a cross-section of people, civilian, military, and veterans to speak about what we got going on at the Patriot Ride.
And Doug, you and your riders are all about honor, dignity, and respect. And I think you've heard me talk earlier today. I hope you've been listening to the show. My special co-host is Brigadier General Neil Leutholt. General, you had some comments for Doug?
Doug, we were talking a bit on the break. We're so honored to have an organization like the Patriot Guard. I saw your great riders, your volunteers, yesterday at Camp Ripley at the memorial service, and Post Commander, who I know you know very well, Colonel Scott St. Sauber, he asked me to thank you for all the support that they receive that are not at the traditional events. You mentioned the funerals, you mentioned the first BCT homecoming, but maybe you might comment, you're also at the veterans turkey hunts, and every single thing that happens at Camp Ripley that's related to a veteran has a Patriot Guard volunteer at it. How do you pull all that together?
Well, you know, again, General, there's nothing I can take credit for. This is entirely a credit to the 6,000 people across Minnesota who choose to give and have found a way to be a volunteer. You know, there's no dues or requirements. And, you know, those veterans, turkey hunts and deer hunts, and I think now we're getting involved in the fishing tournament as well, are just really fun days for us because they're so fulfilling. We get a chance to take, you know, general everyday citizen and pair them up with a veteran, and all day long, not just to keep saying thank you, but just to be part of this disabled vet to have a great day. And these vets live for this one day all year long, and it's just a testament to the people in Minnesota. And I will be a Minnesotan now. You know, I grew up in Wisconsin, but I'm a Minnesotan now, and I would put the patriotism of this state up against any other state in the United States. I'm just so proud of these people, and the thanks really goes to them, General, because, you know, we're just all one part of this great effort.
Doug, I want to thank you for taking time out of your Memorial Day to join us on Minnesota Military Radio. You and your riders are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you. And to our Gold Star families, you know how much I love you, and your loss will never be forgotten.
Thanks, Doug. That was Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Joining us now from northern Minnesota is another veteran, Dutch Cragen. Good morning, Dutch. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning.
Dutch, you are a Korean War veteran. Is there someone special that you think about on this Memorial Day?
Well, I think about my buds. They're the ones that got me to volunteer before the war ended, who had already flamed out and had lost their lives in Korea. So it it was one of those incredibly disastrous experiences which had no beginning and no end. And as you know, the war with North Korea is still going on. I've been there once since my days. Fortunately, I was not assigned to Korea. I was assigned to Germany during that war. But got over there during the Olympic period of time, and the tension, I'm told, is still the same. It's it was a time for a lot of sacrifice. And unfortunately, because we didn't have a parade to come home, it was one of those things that people said, well, you've been away, I guess. What were you doing? It was, unfortunately, a non-remembered experience.
We're speaking with Dutch Cragen from Cragen's Resort on Gull Lake. And Dutch, I know that this weekend you have family fun days. Can you tell us about what's going on up there?
Well, so this kind of leads to the inconclusive Korean experience, where one of the things that we started to do 7, 8, 9 years ago was to honor all military, Coast Guard, Army, Navy, Marines, et cetera, by letting them play golf free on Memorial Day. To our surprise, it was so greatly appreciated by especially Korean and Vietnam veterans who simply wanted to be recognized. It was an experience that they just felt so strongly about that we continued it and gradually grew and grew and grew until now we have veterans playing on 2 days, Memorial Day. We can't take care of all of them. They come up and they also continue to play the day after Memorial Day. And then from that, we gradually started to realize we should have some kind of experience at the resort itself and for those who were not golfers. So Catherine Stotka, who is an employee of ours, started work with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon groups, other types of veterans recognition, especially at Camp Ripley. And so gradually we had a parade right through from one end of our resort to the other. And this year we had a 20-piece band from Brainerd High School. We had the fire engine and horns and whistles, and I'd say about 100 young people along the parade route. Tubby Smith, our basketball coach, came up to march along with everybody. And then we ended up with some solemn speeches by a general and by Beyond the Yellow Ribbon folks, and we ended up with a auction, a silent auction, to raise funds. So it was a very exciting day because after all the speeches and after all the remembrances, we had some Humvee rides from Camp Ripley. We had rock climbing walls. We had ball scene games and things that kids could enjoy, burgers and brats. And so they filled the beach with the kids who were having a great time as well as remembrance. So yesterday was a fun time. Today is the remembrance time.
Dutch, we're just about out of time. I know that you are constantly supporting the military and the families up there, and I'd like to thank you for everything you've done and wish you a great Memorial Day.
Well, we thank you so much, and our greetings to all the veterans who are listening.
Thanks for joining us today, Dutch.
Goodbye.
That was Dutch Cragen from Cragen's Resort on Gull Lake. Coming up next, we'll be talking to the director of the movie Memorial Day on this special edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to this special edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day. Tom Lyons, your host, along with my co-host, Brigadier General Neil Lloyd Holt, in the Davis and Emmer in the Morning studios, just going crazy, General. Joining us now is Sam Fisher, the director of the movie Memorial Day. Sam, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tom, thanks for having me. Good morning, General.
Good morning.
Sam, we had you on some months ago, and you just finished filming the movie, and we talked about it at length. And if our listeners would like to listen to that podcast, they can go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and type in the search word Memorial Day. But since then, it looks like you've changed the name. You've got the distributorship in place. And when do we get to see it at the theaters?
That's right. Well, it's currently playing at St. Anthony Main downtown Minneapolis, and it is free to veterans today. It's also playing up in East Grand Forks and out in Los Angeles. Very minimal theatrical release with this picture. It's more of the straight-to-DVD and video-on-demand and download business models for this film.
Sam, it's an important movie made in Minnesota with the help of the Red Bulls. And can you tell us a little bit about the story? Great story.
Sure. It's a story of a young boy that discovers his grandfather's footlocker from World War II. And, it's the age-old story of the stoic grandfather, the veteran that doesn't like to talk about it and keeps this stuff buried inside his chest his entire life. And the boy drops the footlocker at his lap, wakes Grandpa up on the porch and says, "It's Memorial Day. What am I supposed to remember?" And so that was just the key moment where Grandpa realizes he needs to share these stories. And so they make a deal, says, "Pick any three items, and I'll tell you the stories behind those three items." And we flash back and see where he obtained these items. And the young boy grows up, and he becomes a Minnesota Army National Guard Red Bull. And while serving in Iraq, he experiences very similar things to what his grandfather did and makes his decisions based on the lessons learned.
And Sam, I was working with Oscar-nominated actor James Cromwell and his son, I guess.
That's right, yeah. Well, I met John first and said, "Hey, what do you think? You think your dad would want to do this with us?" And because John lives in St. Paul, actually. And so a few days later, I got a call from James Cromwell saying he loved the script and he'd be more than happy to do this with us. He and his son have been looking for something to play roles together in a feature film for a long time. So working with James was amazing. He is just a generous, humble, sweet, incredibly talented actor. So it was quite a lifetime experience there.
Now, I know you've had some special screenings of the movie and now it's available. What kind of reactions are you getting from the viewers and particularly the veterans?
Well, the viewers, everybody loves this film. It's amazing. The reactions, I knew we were making a powerful movie and we were telling an important story, but I had no idea the impact that it has been making. I mean, I have veterans in their 80s coming up to me and hugging me and holding and sobbing and starting to tell me their stories that they need to share with their families. I've had I had a commanding sergeant major down at Fort Riley we were at last week come up to me and he said, "Well, I know what I'm going to do every Memorial Day. I'm going to take out my footlockers. I have many of them, and I'm going to share those stories with my children every Memorial Day. That's going to be my new tradition." So it's been an overwhelming response from veterans, from families of veterans, because really this film is dedicated to the families that have to endure everything as well as the veterans. And it's a powerful way of life for these folks to go through. It's such a struggle at home at the same time as in the battlefield.
Sam, I was very fortunate to be able to be seated next to Ann Janish when you screened the movie for the first time in Minnesota. As you know, Ann is the wife of Darren Janish. Darren was a boyhood friend of mine, and I'm so surprised at the similarities between the movie and some parts of Darren's own upbringing. But if you might comment on how important it was to have a currently serving soldier like that help you through those parts of the movie relative to the military aspect.
Oh, absolutely. It was very key. I could not have done it without the support of our Red Bull. General Nash and everyone else involved. There are only six actors in those Iraq scenes. All the rest of them, 39 of them, were active duty soldiers that helped us in the background. And Darren Janish and Sergeant Mike McKinley, he's down in Rochester, he came out. They ran a boot camp with all our actors. They taught them how to handle weapons and move together and the camaraderie. And then I had, Darren out on set with me every day to make sure that my actors were moving and speaking and everything was completely technically accurate. Even with the World War II stuff, we had World War II reenactors. So, part of making this film was to really show our soldiers in the proper and true